We'll begin with Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, and then go to Judges chapter 2. And then we'll come and look at Luke 24. If you would stand with me this morning in honor of reading God's Word together. We've been sitting a while and kind of stir us up a little bit. And if you're a little bit sleepy and whatever, you can kind of jump up and down around while you're standing there. And no, you know how the Jews do it when they go to the Wailing Wall, don't you? To keep their attention, you've seen them how they do it. They stand there. If you wonder what they're doing at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, the men that are there praying and reading stuff, they do that to keep their focus on what they're doing. Now, you don't have to do that here. You would draw attention to yourself, but if you want to and need to, just do it at the back. I'm just teasing.
Do you know why they do that?
Sir, what? Why?
Because they used to just stand there, and someone said, you got to show enthusiasm for the Lord, and so they started that.
Okay. So we need to show enthusiasm. We don't have to do that way, but just enthusiasm. And it helps also with the focus there. If you would look with me at Exodus chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. The Bible says, and Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. Remember, Joseph went down into Egypt and then went through, he was in prison and all of that, and then he became second highest in the land. And well, it says Joseph died and all of his brothers and all that generation. Then in verse 7 it says, and the children of Israel were fruitful. And they increased abundantly and they multiplied and they waxed exceeding mighty. And the land was filled with them. Verse 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Now turn over your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. We'll come back to this in a little bit. But Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. It says in verse 7, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. Verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Let's bow for prayer as we come before him today in this place. So we're here today, we're here to worship him. We're here to glorify him. We're here to learn from his word and let him speak to our hearts and to our lives through his word and what the Spirit of God would say to you and to me today in this place because of these passages of scriptures and a few others. So as we come this morning, let's just give God our whole attention, our whole heart, and just yield to him that he may speak to each and every one of us what he wants to say today. And Father, today in this place today, we give you thanks for who you are. Father, such mercy. As we just heard sung this testimony and song, your mercy is so good, too good for us. So beautiful, so marvelous, so wonderful. We thank you today, Father. We praise your name today because of your mercy toward us and your grace that is so abundant. It's able, well able, and is sufficient for all of our needs, for the forgiveness of all of our sins, but also for Father, for every need that we have in our life. And we thank you today, Father, as we're here this morning and we can read your word together. And we just pray that you bless now this time. And it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, Wednesday's the new year, and I'm not going to mention the other thing. It's a little early to start that out, but you know. But the new year. What is the new year? New year, it's a time to renew. It's a time when a lot of us will get together, and a lot of people all over the world will say, okay, I'm going to just try to make a better year, have a better life this year, do more things for the Lord, or do more things in my personal life, or improve myself, well, all the kinds of things. But the new year is a time of renewal. It's a time to renew maybe old resolutions that we had in our life or whatever it is. But renewal is kind of one of the keys and one of the themes of about the new year and other things such as this. And you know, out in creation, we see renewal too. The seasons change. We have winter where everything is bare and the leaves have fallen down. Everything's gone to sleep for the most part. And then spring comes, everything wakes up, it's renewed again. And then we go through the summer and we have the things that are there. And then for fall, everything begins to wind back down again and we're back into winter and that type of thing. So even in creation itself, we see the cycle of renewal and that type of thing happening over and over. Well, for us, for you and me, for people, it's a good time just to start over, start with something. Maybe we've not fallen short of a goal that we had in our life, or maybe we've had things with the Lord that we told the Lord that we would do, and we kind of fell short of that, and so we come and say, God, I want to renew this before you today in my life. And so there are two quotes that I want to, quote some from today. And kind of help us to see a little bit about what I'm talking about here this morning, what the passage will eventually show us here. Charles Stanley's message, now how many of you saw or heard Charles Stanley's message? Excellent. I've got it recorded. I've got out on the table. There are the printed outlines that they sent to me. You can have that and we'll get the video if you'd like to have that and see it again or share it with someone. That's fine. I want to share some things from Charles Stanley in a moment. But there's another man, first of all. His name is Francis Chan. He's pastor of a very large church, a missional church. That means just simply a very mission-minded church. And he made this statement. I had a little short video clip on the computer that I saw yesterday that Bill set me onto, and I listened to it, and it was kind of along with what we're going to be looking at here this morning. And here's a quote from me. It says, if I only had the scriptures and nothing else, no church, no other Christians, whatever, if I only had the scriptures, I would think that I am on a mission for God. If I didn't have church to influence my religious ideals and thinkings, whatever, if I only had the Bible, he says, I would just be on a mission for God. I would love God. I'd love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Now, this is what he says, this is what I would think. I'd love God with all my heart, soul, and strength. And now I need to go out there and make disciples. That's what he said. He's pastor of a very strong missional church. And so he said, I would reach out as I can and to as many people as I can. And I would teach them to observe all things that Christ taught, that he read he would read in the scriptures, and all that Christ commanded. He said, then I would find other people. I wouldn't be long before I would find other people who had that same mindset. That it's, I love God with all my heart because I love him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I've got a mission for him that I have to go out and give out that word and share that message with others. And it wouldn't be long before I would find other people with that same heart and that same mind. And we could come together then and have a fellowship of people that had that same idea, that same sense of unity of getting out the gospel out to the whole world. He said then I would have that, and then the fellowship would then come to me, and we would have a time of fellowship together that would be very powerful. And he said, then the basis of fellowship would be different. What do we think of when we think about fellowship today? Well, we have friends. We get together. We're together. We worship God together. We pray together. We study God's word together. Nothing wrong with that. But he suggests, he said, if I began with the scriptures and then I met other people who had the same sense of a missional mind, that is to take the gospel message out to all the world, wherever I could go, that then I would have a fellowship of people. And he said, what would happen in this fellowship is that we would encourage one another. We would encourage each other to go on with that mission. We would encourage people as we go out and we would go and be soul winners. We would go out and evangelize. Then we would go out and then not just win them to the Lord and leave them alone, but we'd win them to the Lord and we'd bring them in and we would teach them and train them. We would invest our lives in them. We'd invest our strength and our hearts into these people. And so that's one of the things that we see as starting of a new year. What do we want our church to be? What do you want to do? What do you want our church to be? And so as we think about these things this morning, because of the new year, this is the time to begin these things all anew again. Then Charles Stanley and his message had to do with a vision for a heart for God and a vision for the world, I believe was the name of it. But he asked this question, suppose that you had never heard the gospel, not ever heard the gospel, not in your whole life. you would die in your sins. That's how he began his message. If you had never heard the gospel your whole life and you died, you would die in your sins. And you would die and be separated from God for in eternity forever and ever. You'd still be in your sins. And then he mentioned there's over 7 billion people on the earth. And he said, touching the world with the word of God ought to be the motivation of the heart of everyone who names the name of Christ. Touching the whole world with the word of God, with the gospel of God, motivated because God is in you and God is in me. And what is God about? God has a passion for people all over the world. God has a passion for all of his creation, every single human being that has ever been born, that is alive today on the face of the earth, or whoever shall be born there in the future. God has a passion for them that they might know him. And so he has entitled the church. He has empowered the church. He has mandated the church. That's you and me, to go with the passion of God's heart to a lost and dying world. That's where we are at. That's what, if when we read the scriptures, that's the message that comes out. It's not about this activity and that activity. There's nothing wrong with activities. Not down on that. But that's not what it's about. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about knowing God and knowing Christ through repentance and faith. And it's about telling others the gospel truths so that they might repent of their sins. Like Dr. Joseph Heiskell. He was a terrible person. I couldn't believe that when his son told me that on this mission trip. I just couldn't hardly believe that that was his dad. But I could see I knew he was a tenacious type person. But I had no idea he was a drunkard and all that kind of thing. And he abused his children when they came home. He was an angry man and drinking and all that. Then God got a hold of his heart and changed him. Transformed his life. And that's what the gospel is about. It's about transforming people's life. Now you don't have to be a mean, drunken, angry type person to be lost in your sins. People are lost in their sins. There are all kinds of people in the world. Some really nice people, some really good people, but they're lost in their sins. And if they die in their sins, then they will be under the condemnation of God forever and ever. It's not about being good. And so Charles Stanley went on to say that it is important that a church be mission-minded. That's God's purpose for every single church on the face of this earth. And a church is not the building, remember, but it's the people. It's the church family. It's the people who make up this church. And so he said it to be mission-minded. So when God plants the first step in our heart to do something, that is to go out, to determine to be disciple makers. That's what God put in my heart and Steve's heart and Mark Heiskell's heart, to go to the Philippines and to take those pastors and other church leaders, those men, and to teach them and to encourage them to have a relationship with the Word of God, to have a stronger relationship with God himself, but also that they would become disciple makers. And then lo and behold, in the south there, and that man got up at the end and said, spoke for about 20 minutes and found out that they had made a commitment in the Baptist churches there. One thing I forgot to tell you, I was going to write it down. I couldn't remember to write it down, but I remember now, so I'm going to tell you. But we'd passed these Baptist churches on the way, going down to the South Carolina, a 265-mile trip down there. And they were fundamental Baptist churches, okay? Fundamental Baptist churches, and their sign read, whatever the name of that town was, whatever the name of that church was, so-and-so, Fundamental Baptist Church, Militant King James Only Baptist Church. Right there on their sign. That amazed me. And but they're very strong, very strict about what they're going to do. But they take the gospel. They believe in taking the gospel out there to all of those people. And so when God puts a first step in our heart, then he will reveal the second step. So we just went there on that mission trip to be obedient to that first step, because we know the scripture tells us disciple making is the way God has mandated for God's people to reach the world for Christ with his gospel. God has mandated it. Christ mandated it. That was the last thing he expressed, as we'll see here in just a moment in Luke chapter 24. So I like what Dr. Stanley, Charles Stanley, what their church does. Maybe you, if you saw it last night, you know what it's talking about. They have these little tiny things, smaller and thinner than a cell phone. And it's called the Messenger. And I believe, I thought about this almost 3 years ago when we went to Nepal for the first time, when we came back. The way to get the gospel to those people who don't even have a written language, but they are a people with their own language, but it's not in writing at all, so there's no scriptures from the head, to get that little messenger where you pick it up and you listen to it, and Charles Stanley preaches the salvation message at the beginning of that, and on the rest of that little recorder messenger thing that you can have everywhere, and I don't know how they're all put together or how much they cost or anything like that, but then the rest of it is the entire New Testament in their language on that little messenger so that the word can get out. If someone loses there, someone can pick it up. They can hear it and listen. He gave that kind of illustration. But it's about getting the gospel of God out to the whole world. And so if you have God in you, if you know Christ, and he lives in you, he truly lives in you, then you've got to have the same heart. I've got to have the same heart that God has. God has a passion for lost people. Look with me in your Bibles at the book of Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 45 through 49. This is when Jesus had met the two on the road to Emmaus, and they went back to Jerusalem. Jesus had met them there. Then they went out to Bethany, out kind of somewhere where he ascended back into heaven. But just before he went back up into heaven, he said this. Look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it compelled Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And what? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that's referring to the day of Pentecost, which happened a few days later. And so you and I, having heard the gospel and are recipients of God's grace and God's mercies, we heard so powerfully and lovingly sung in that message and song just a few moments ago. It's the power of God. It's the mercy of God. God resides in you. He resides in me. How can we do nothing with that? How can we do nothing? And that was the point of Charles Stanley's message there. And then I like, quote, I've alluded to this a few times, but I like the way he said it. He said, we are the first generation in the history of the world that has the capacity, the capability, the skill, and the technology to get the truth of the gospel to every single person on the face of the earth. Do you believe that? We have it. We can do it. There's ways to do it. And God has, there are creative ways, and God uses the creative minds and hearts of born-again Christians who have a passion and a heart for God to get the word of God out to the whole world. And so that is the mandate of the church. That's what New Year, I believe, is about, for us to renew ourselves before the Lord in the mission, the mandate that Christ gave to us, the church. And so something, go on to quote Charles Stanley just a little more before we come back to our first scriptures. He said, there are people who have been a Christian for 25 or 30 years, but they're not excited one bit at all to see people come to know the Lord. You know, I think it's true in a lot of churches. The Holy Spirit unites you and me with God at the moment of conversion. And the gospel of God is the passion of God, and that's what the Holy Spirit is passionate about. And we have a lot of teachings, a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. Much of it is true. You can observe it, and it's real. But then there's a lot of things. You know what the work of the Holy Spirit is? It is to reveal Christ, to reveal the work of Christ, and to empower God's people to do the will of God, to do the will of Christ. He never glorifies himself. He always glorifies Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's for you and I to make Christ known everywhere we go, all over the world. And so it is a heart of compassion that we are to have. It's not about religion. It's not about churchy things, but it's about the truth, and it's about the gospel, and it's about God. I want you to look with me. Well, we all know John 3:16 is going to be up on the screen anyway. By the way, in the last year and a half, or almost 2 years now, I've been on three different continents on the face of this earth. Everywhere I go, everyone in church over there knows John 3:16. Not only do they know it in their own language, and they know it in English. Everywhere I've been, people know that. John 3:16. So the gospel according to John 3:16. Mary said she remembered that message. So it says in verses, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's the gospel right there. You can learn that, and you can learn how to delineate the things that are there and share the gospel with somebody. How many of you here can quote John 3:16 without looking in the Bible? See, almost everyone here can do that. If you can do that, you can share the gospel with somebody. You can absolutely share the gospel with somebody. Well, look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's the will of God. That's the heart of God. That is the heart, the will of the Holy Spirit. And if you know Christ, if you truly know Christ, the Spirit of God is in you. That's what the Spirit of God wants to produce in you and in me. That's what he wants to do. Then verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Then quickly, at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, that's the heart of God. And that's the heart and the passion of the Spirit of God who lives in you and he lives in me. And that's God's plan. God's plan for the church is for us to be mission-minded. And we do. I thank God for the things that he allows us to do. We go to downtown Tulsa sometimes and do mission things there. We participate with the community of churches here at Thanksgiving. We ought to do more, that's for sure. We go to Fort Worth, Texas. Go to Reynosa, Mexico. We go to South Africa. We go to Nepal. We go to the Philippines. We have those that are China and Indonesia and Ecuador and places around the world. We are missional minded. Wherever we can go and get out that message, we can go and do those things. Now, there are those who say, "Well, we've got all these people around us, so why go over there? We've got all these people around us." Well, I say, if you feel that way, then let God use you to start reaching the people around us and everyone else in our church family who would help do that. That's a good thing. Let's do that. Because we know that that's the will of God. We know that that's the passion and the power of the Spirit of God will provide for us to go and to do that. And there are ways that we can do that. We'll share that here at the moment and then give a challenge here at the end of this in just a moment. But we got to have a vision for the world. That's what Charles Stanley said. We need to be obedient to God. We need to be obedient to what God wants you and me to do. And to clearly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, the message of redemption. Now this concludes my introductory remarks. But the message is short. Look back with me very quickly at Exodus chapter 1 verses 6 through 8. "And Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation." Do you realize that we're just one generation away from losing it all? In fact, what I believe is what we've come to see is there were generations of Christians in decades past who had a heart for evangelism, had a heart for Sunday school, had a heart for teaching the Word of God, had a heart to go out and to win the lost and to bring them in. And they had that skill, they had that ability, and we don't see it so much anymore. So in a sense, we're kind of like what happened there to Israel. It happened again in the book of Judges. It says, and Joseph died. And all of his brothers and all that generation. And so then it becomes that there comes a time when what happened next in verse 7. They increased. They prospered. Where are we at as America? Think back to the founding people, founding men and women of America. Why did they come here? They wrote it down. It's in the Mayflower Compact. The purpose of the early people coming and establishing this nation was to advance the kingdom of God. That was the American dream. What is the American dream now? You get a good education, so you get a good job, so you get a good house, and a few years later you get a gooder house, and you get good stuff, good cars, good this, good that. You entertain, we entertain ourselves, we go on and on and on. That's the American dream now. That's not the American dream. We've lost that as a generation of people. We've come to that place. But I say, this is Wednesday, Tuesday night at midnight, starts a new year, and you and I and our minds, our hearts, our thinking, we can change the direction that we are personally going and our church is and other churches are personally going. That can happen. That can change. And so we see that they prospered. And what happened when they prospered? Look at verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. You know what? And this is not any kind of a political thing at all. The leaders of our nation are not the same kind of leaders we've had for decades, for hundreds of years. It's throw God out of the government, throw God out of the public place, throw God out of here and out of there. We have more problems now, we have more violence now, we have more death now, we have more immorality now than in the history of this nation. It's because we've come to where Israel was after the Exodus, after Joseph died and all that generation. Then someone else came in and changed things. But you know, you and I are to often not change. The Word of God is timeless. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God never gets old. It's never outdated. The Word of God, the principles of God, the truth of God's Word, we've got to hide in our heart and let God make you and me alive unto Him. And so then we see that they're the new leadership that this all happens. Now just quickly, the last point, Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Look at verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. All those people. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. He was 110 years old. Verse 9. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance that was there. Then in verse 10, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Everybody died out. Everybody who saw the hand of what God did, we say, how could people who saw those things, how could they disobey God when they saw the mighty hand of God, the supernatural hand of God? But they did. And it says in the rest of verse 10, and then there arose another generation after them, which did not know the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And what was the result? Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. You see, I think it's where we're at as a people and as a nation. That's where we're at. I want to end with a quote this morning. Brother Maxie brought me something, and I said, Brother Maxie, can I make a copy of this? It's out of the Daily Bread. How many of you get the Daily Bread still? You probably read this December the 27th. That would have been Friday. It's the challenge of confinement, but it illustrates perfectly what we're talking about this morning. At the age of 86, Ken Deal concluded more than three decades of volunteer jail and prison ministry with a final Sunday sermon. His message to the inmates was about serving the Lord while they were incarcerated. Many of the examples he used came from prisoners, some serving life sentences. In a place everyone wants to leave, he encouraged them to grow and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. You see, the heart was there. It was there. And after the people of Judah were taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar and deported to Babylon because of their disobedience to God, the prophet Jeremiah sent them this message from the Lord. Here's what he said. Build houses. You're going to be there for a while. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that you may be increased there and not diminished. We may face some limiting circumstances today, whether it's a result of our failure or through fault or through no fault of our own. We can go through it, or we can seek God's strength to grow through it. The challenge of every confinement is to increase rather than decrease, to grow and not diminish. The Lord's goal is to give us a future and a hope. God has mandated the making of disciples for the world. That's the mandate of the church. That is the mission of every church. We do a lot of the things. We do them right. We do a lot of those things. But here, the invitation is twofold this morning. First of all, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I mean you truly don't know that you know Him, maybe, then today's the day for you to say to God, God, I believe that You gave Your Son to die on that cross for me. He suffered in my place. You punished Him for my sins. He's the only one that qualified. That's why He did it. And I ask You, I turn from my sin, I repent of my sins, and I come to You and I call upon You and I ask You to forgive me of my sins and help me to put all those things out of my life. And then in faith in Jesus Christ, I come and I surrender and submit myself to the authority of Jesus Christ over my life. There's a lot of people who profess Christ, that Christ is not their authority. And what did Jesus say over and over and over? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you do not do the will of my Father, you are not my disciple. You are not a Christian. That's what Jesus said. That's not man. That's not me. That's what Jesus said. That's the first thing. The second thing is for everyone here, no matter what your spiritual state is. Down here on the table, there's only 30 copies. I can make more if we need to. But it is the challenge to become a disciple maker in this church. And when the invitation time, you can come up and get one of those. Or if you want to wait till after the service and we run out, I can print some more real quick. But it's for you and me and each and every one of us to consider what it means to keep the mandate of Christ, to keep our hearts hot for passion for lost souls, lost people. And those two sheets there stapled together. It talks about this is what it's about knowing the Lord, about walking with Christ, and it's about being active as a disciple maker out of my own heart and out of my own life as a ministry of this church. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes this morning. We're here in this place. You're here in this place. And God has brought us here today, not by accident. We're here today because God brought us here together. We still have many people gone today, but that's okay. We begin with what we've got and where we're at. So as we're here today in this place, what does the new year mean? What does renewing yourself before the Lord mean? What does it mean for you? Everyone of us have a different life scenario. I cannot answer for anyone else. I can only answer for me. You can only answer for yourself. Are you walking in obedience? Do you have a heart of real faith, a heart that is passionate for what God is passionate for? You and I are endued with the Spirit of God and the power of God. And it's that power of God that God uses, He wills to use, He desires to use you and me to reach a lost and to die in a dying world. And you are a part of what God wants to do. You were put into the body of Christ at the moment of your salvation, and God ordained this for you in your life. You may never heard that before. You may not have realized it, or maybe you've just forgotten it, or whatever it is. But today, God has reminded each and every one of us, and He's renewed to us His call to be passionate with His gospel, to reach lost people in the world, and to make disciples so that we can reach, so that God can reach the people of the world through His messengers.